I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place where all can prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. Let's unpack week 6 of the legislative session. This week was House of Origin cutoff week, which means that a bill has to make it out of the chamber it started in, either the House or the Senate, to keep moving forward. Bills that appeared to have stalled out for the session include a controversial bill to give prison inmates the right to vote, serve on a jury, or hold public office. The proposal got increased scrutiny after its sponsor, Representative Tara Simmons, admitted it would also apply to Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer.
So would Gary Ridgway's rights be restored with this bill?
Yes, they would.
A proposal to make voting mandatory did not get traction this year. Neither did a bill crafted by middle schoolers in Eatonville that would have required public school students in Washington are taught about the meaning behind the Pledge of Allegiance. But they got a valuable lesson about testifying in Olympia anyway.
Students disrespect the pledge, not only at assemblies, but every morning when we say at the beginning of each day. Does this bother you?
The Senate version of a bill that would have improved Holocaust education in public schools failed to get a vote this session, and it's not clear whether the Senate wants to take up a House version of the bill that underwent a controversial change on the House floor to make such education more inclusive.
This amendment is about inclusivity and accountability when it comes to teaching about the Holocaust and genocide, and I ask for your support.
On now to bills that met this week's critical cutoff and still have a chance to become law. A Democrat-backed bill to mandate inclusive learning materials in public schools across Washington state is still moving forward and got a hearing this week in the House Education Committee.
For the record, my name is Christy Bennett. I'm a physics teacher at Skyline High School in the Issaquah School District and a member of the Washington Education Association. I am in support of Senate Bill 5462. As a queer individual, I have not had a welcoming or inclusive experience either as an educator or as a student in our systems. I did not come out until I was in my 30s because the lack of representation made it difficult for me to understand my experience. I didn't even know that it was an option for me.
These requirements would be costly for our district. Out in District 7 is where I live, outside of Spokane. And our districts are already struggling to keep up and update their curriculum, as well as implementing the new requirements for education that this body had already passed the last 2 to 3 years. The term inclusive has been dividing our country and communities, causing issues and negatively impacting our schools. This bill will further that division and push parents out of our public schools, which is not where we're trying to put them.
Striking workers are one step closer to becoming eligible for unemployment benefits in Washington state after the House passed HB 1893. We'll see how it fares in the Senate. Still alive, despite failing to pass a Senate committee, is a Democrat bill to limit rent increases and late fees. The House version of that proposal, HB 2114, passed in the House after impassioned debate.
Across Washington, in rural and suburban and urban communities, people are getting crushed by rising rents. Rents are going up faster than wages. Seniors see rents going up faster than Social Security. Families are making impossible choices while paying more and more to landlords.
In the last 5 years, Madam Speaker, there have been 46 pieces of legislation introduced to this body dealing with tenant protections. 46. Of that, 15 were passed into law. Another 8 introduced this year. The policy in front of us tonight is the wrong policy for Washington State, I believe.
If HB 2114 becomes law, landlords across Washington State cannot increase rent more than 7% a year. For more on what happened in the legislative session, including where those 6 voter initiatives stand, let's check in with our friends at the Center Square. Brett Davis, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, so we're still waiting with just a couple weeks left in the session to find out what, if anything, is going to happen with the 6 voter-backed initiatives. But for sure, Democrats have offered us a finality on 2 of them.
That's right. So Wednesday's media availability event, Democrat leadership told us that Initiative 2117, which would repeal the state's new carbon emissions auctions, that would not get a hearing. They said the same thing about Initiative 2109 that would repeal the state's capital gains tax. They said that one won't be getting a hearing. What's happening on the other 4? I'm not entirely sure yet. They say they're waiting for fiscal notes, so they seem somewhat non-committal.
I think we are in discussions to figure out exactly what we're going to do. And we'll have some decisions. I mean, we said we're going to wait till after cutoff. There's still one fiscal note that's not done. And we're going to, it's also, there's some logistical challenges on the hearings and how we do that, but we are working on that, and hopefully we'll have announcements soon on the others.
It feels like we're running out of time to give hearings to any of them.
It does. It's a, I don't know, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Exactly. What movie is that from again?
Dodgeball.
Dodgeball. There it is. All right. Speaking of the Climate Commitment Act, so one of the things Governor Inslee has said he thinks would help make sure, even though he hasn't admitted that the auctions are increasing gas prices, he said that something that could help, if that were the case, is to link our carbon auctions to California and Quebec. And it would offer a little more stability. So there's been a bill passed that would do that?
Right. That'd be a Senate Bill 6058. It would basically make some technical changes to facilitate linking with the California-Quebec market. It's very, very technical. I don't know when we get into that a little bit, but basically, this is all, the impetus for this is an October 2023 report from the Department of Ecology that basically said linkage would make the market more predictable, incentivize businesses to actually, you know, cut their greenhouse gases. And it warned that if linkage isn't achieved, this could end up dooming the entire program. So they're highly motivated, I suspect.
Isn't that irrelevant, though, if voters decide to repeal the CCA in November?
Yes, that's the million-dollar question, or I guess I should say it's the $2 billion question, given that's how much money these auctions have raked in last year. So
yeah,
I'll be curious to see how that plays out. Now, there is something in the bill that it says if it's approved by voters, Initiative 2117, to get rid of the carbon tax, then this bill becomes null and void. So it's off, they put a little bomb in there. So this can't become an alternative on the ballot, which is apparently what some case law in a 1971 opinion from the Washington Attorney General way back in 1971 when I was born, so a long time ago, that seems to say that that's what the state has to do. It'll have to use this as the alternative, but apparently the legislature doesn't want to do that. So they put this little, you know, self-destruct device in there, so to speak.
Well, and it makes sense that if you're repealing the CCA and the carbon auctions, obviously we wouldn't need a law on the books linking our carbon auctions to California and to Quebec. But if voters don't repeal it, then this would move forth and maybe provide a little more stability, which I guess could be a good thing if it is here to stay. Let's end with this. There was a lot of celebration from Republicans this week when Democrats came out and said they are not going to move forward with voting on a bill that would increase the property tax lid from 1% to 3%. But although they celebrated, Republicans warned, okay, this one, it might be dead, but there are still other bills out there that would raise taxes.
Right. One of those bills would be House Bill 2049. They label it the Washington Recycling and Packaging Act. It would basically change who pays for curbside recycling services. It would be the companies supplying packaging and paper products. You know, they would be funding the program instead of residents. Of course, opponents argued that this is going to, you know, increase production costs on food suppliers and packaging providers, and that's going to be passed on to consumers. So another bill was House Bill 1433, which would require getting a home energy score in order to be able to sell your home. So that would add on costs. You'd have to hire someone to do that. So Republicans were warning about that one as well. So now that the property tax one is out of the way, let's see. I guess Democrats will see if they can get some of these other ones by. Like you said, they're not getting as much attention, which, you know, could be a dangerous thing. We'll see.
But getting attention on Politics Unpacked and from the center square. So Brett Davis, we appreciate it. Just a few more weeks to go.
A few more. All right. Thank you.
That has been Politics Unpacked for this sixth week of the legislative session in Olympia. I'm Brandi Cruz. Have a great weekend. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place where all can prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. To support Undivided and our content like this, you can subscribe for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com.